Let's move on to stacking theory. Doing all caps, Reaper Man, parentheses, all caps. Everything changes, so why can't I? Question mark, end parens.
I know that everyone changes with time, and I would like to make one change. That is mine. If I were able to put down my side, could I make the change that's right?
The Grim Reaper is the one who wants in this song, and he wants to put down his scythe. I think the song is a bit of a head bobber. You know, it has a good groove and a nice chorus, and the vocal layering in the chorus sounds great. It's very different and very dynamic, and I really enjoyed that. Also, the song doesn't sound like it's from a musical theater piece, and that's fine. You know, it's arguably better than fine since it doesn't lean on musical theater tropes. You know, it's sort of its own thing, and that's great. Now, I don't want to steal anybody's takes here, but after a couple of listens, I was a little, you know, suspicious. Is this a two-chord song?
Is it?
I don't know. I might get to that more in a minute.
Okay.
I feel like it's a two-note bass line, but...
Yeah, I suspect it's a two chord, maybe a three chord, though I couldn't tell that maybe that third chord is just an octave up. So,
he's pretty fond of his two chord songs.
Okay.
So it could very well be two chords.
All right. This song is fine enough, but it doesn't really make me want to go see the musical. That doesn't mean that it wasn't an enjoyable song, though. So yeah, again, especially and particularly the vocal layering, which I enjoyed quite a bit.
When you said this song is very much its own thing, I kind of had to suppress a snicker. I'm like, it's very much Lou Reed's thing. Like, that bass line is the Walk on the Wild Side bass line, I think. It's certainly the interval without the slide. So it very much sounds like that.
Yeah.
And then
he ends it.
And then at the end, it's got the do, 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 do. Yeah, you know, I don't think Lou Reed's estate is going to sue or anything, but I thought it was an homage. They wasn't really out and out stealing, so that's cool.
I'm pretty sure that Lou Reed's estate has those two notes copyrighted.
Yeah, is it a fifth interval or something? I don't
yes,
know.
He's the only one.
Only one. What else did I like about this song? I like that death measures time by the rise and fall of empires. I just thought that sounded cool. I like the rhythm section and how it sort of built slowly. You got your bass, your drums. I thought the glockenspiel was spooky sounding and kind of a nice touch. But I most like the rhythm guitar. It had that great skanky rhythm sound that I think just like really propelled the song forward and kept my foot tapping. I also like the cool backwards guitar solo with some buzzy guitars at the end. And great singing and harmonies, which I also really enjoyed. So for a song that had kind of slower tempo, it kept me kind of grooving through the entire song. It had a nice feel to it, and I appreciated that too.
You mentioned in last week's podcast about how Giz was sort of listening to judges and changing what he was doing depending on what we'd said or whatever. And he's kept his absolute biggest panda for this song because he's expecting to go out this round because, like, everybody's expecting to go out this round because more people go out this round than people stay. So about maybe 6 months ago, I made a sample pack and I made it for making stuff for my YouTube videos. And I thought, I'll just make it into a sample pack and see if I can do anything else with it. So I sent it to Giz for his kids to muck around with if they wanted to. And he forgot about it for a while. And then just before Spin Tunes, he said, if I use your sample pack in Spin Tunes, this was before he knew I was a judge, how will I credit you? And I was like, if you use it, don't credit me. don't tell me you're using it. Don't credit me. And then he found out I was a judge, and I think he sort of changed his tactics going in, because I think he probably felt bad using music that one of the judges had made in one of his songs. And so he's stored it all up for this one. So in this, I'm just looking at my logic file, and I think the bass that I've got in here is just two notes. So he's probably just riffing on two chords the whole way through. So the stuff that he's used of mine is the Boots and Cats drums, the marimba, the bass, the backing vocals in the chorus, and the electric piano. So all the vocals are him, and all the extra guitars and random sounds are him, and the rest is me. And he didn't tell me he was doing it until he'd finished the song.
So it's a marimba, and not a glockenspiel.
It's a marimba, yeah. Nice. I can't remember if I played it or if I took some advice from one of your previous podcasts, which was to make a song good, all you need is an arpeggiated synth and a clav. And so now I try and put an arpeggiated synth in every song.
Oh my god, yes, yeah, you got it.
So that's where that comes from. And the fuck your neighbors when you're singing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fuck to your neighbors.
Oh my god, so somebody listens.
I listen. Yeah, he's used a lot of the things from the sample pack. And it's super fun to hear a song made from just these little bits and pieces. And so he doesn't actually know this, but I based this sample pack on like a bar of another song. And I think I had an idea for one of our challenges, which was rightfully rejected because it was like a bit hard and just probably difficult for people to wrap their heads around, which is like to do an Exquisite Corpse type thing. So to take a sample from another song, use it in a song and make a new song out of it. And so he's kind of accidentally done that. So this song has gone from the original song that I made the sample pack from was Love Thy Will Be Done by Martika. And that song originally contained a sample from the Cocteau Twins, I think. And then he's made a new song from it and sampled Walk on the Wild Side.
Nice.
In the same song. And so it's kind of like this chain of songs joined together, which is quite fun. And I thought that he was pandering to me with Walk on the Wild Side as well. I assumed that he'd chosen that song just to suck up to me. But it turns out he didn't. It was an accidental pander.
Okay. The best kind of pandering.
I asked about it, and his wife noticed that something was like Walk on the Wild Side in it. So he just realized that it kind of fit with the theme of the song and leaned into it.
Cool.
It's good.
But yeah, obviously I love this song. I think it's great, especially all the marimba and backing vocals and stuff.
That's the way to get your votes. Put the judges in the song.
But yeah, I think he played my voice forwards and backwards, which is kind of funny as well, because that particular sample, I chopped my voice up and played it forwards and backwards also. So it's a forwards and backwards sample played forwards and backwards.
Oh my gosh. Chumpy knows the lengths that I've gone to try to avoid any semblance of favoritism in judging.
Yeah, it's so hard.
Yeah. Well, I think I can probably say it now. We're thinking about having on, and leading up to it, we realized that, oh, wait, but she might get reinstated. So we have to like walk back our invitation and make it dependent upon all of this stuff. And then we can't, you know, like you mentioned that you thought that should get reinstated in the earlier round.
Yeah.
And I recused myself from commenting on that because I didn't want to make it look like, well, I want her back in because we favor her because we wanted her on the podcast or blah, 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 or vice versa, that we didn't favor her because we wanted to get her back on the podcast, yeah, or whatever, you know, just any semblance of that. But I see that's all out the window now.
Yep.
He also sent me 12 jars of Vegemite at the start.
There goes the illusion of objectivity.
But yeah, Giz is my husband's best friend. And normally with the songs, we have a constant text chain going back and forth, and we usually listen to everything, but I haven't been listening to anything beforehand. He's just been sending those to Paul, which is good.
Nice.
Yeah. As above board as you can possibly be when somebody is constantly bribing you.
Yeah. We have some extended family in Australia, and they sent us some Vegemite and also some kangaroo jerky.
I've not had that.
We didn't need the kangaroo jerky. We gave it to somebody else, I think. But
it's probably going to be one of, you bastard.
It's going to be one of those. I'm sure it's going to be one of those white elephant things that nobody
just goes around 50 houses. Yeah.
Exactly. Nobody's going to dare eat it, but they're going to open it up and go, "Oh my god, this is so exotic."
Veggie bite is delicious, though.
It's so good. It's so good.
We might open it up then. Have it on crackers?
What you need to do is don't spread it like an American.
You got to go light with it, right?
Yeah. So toast, preferably white toast, a lot of butter, and then a tiny, like a quarter of a teaspoon of Vegemite on top of that. It's very strong and it's very salty. Oh. And most people who are not Australian end up not liking it because somebody tries to trick them into eating it poorly.
Right. They slather it on like it was peanut butter or something. Yeah. it's supposed to be savory. I had a friend at work who is from Australia and he brought some over and he just made like these nice bread and butter sandwiches with it. And it was really good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll crack that one open then.